Ships being asked of the average French voter, Macron recently announced that if re-elected, he will raise the retirement age to 65. That has caused the left-wing candidate, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, to jump in the first-round polls to third place, but he still trails the far-right's Marine Le Pen by several points.
They aren't even talking about inflation in the election campaign. For everyone in France, it's big news, but not to our candidates. Everyone who isn't rich is wondering if the energy price increases are ever going to stop, while the poor wonder if they are ever going to be targeted by government aid.
While inflation has soared, it's not like this is a new problem for the average French person. Despite long-time official claims of low inflation, reduced purchasing power has been the number one issue for voters in 2017 and 2012 as well. There will be at least two more days of nationwide protests this week. France's first-round presidential vote is now less than 3 weeks away. Many are saying that the final days of Macron's five-year term are ending in a typical fashion, full of anti-government protests. Ramin Mazahari, Paris.
In the limelight.
In the past month, the BA2 variant has gone from 3% of cases sequenced to more than 20%, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written by William Rivers Pitt, senior editor and lead columnist. This article is published under the heading "Unease about possible new COVID surge grows with rise of BA2 variant." Here's more. NBC's local New York City Channel 4 recently said rising COVID infections associated with the so-called stealth Omicron variant BA2 are fueling fresh leeriness about the state of the pandemic in New York City and America, just as life as we now know it is starting to return to normal. According to the CDC, that variant accounts for 39% of COVID circulating in New York and New Jersey right now. By comparison, it's responsible for about a quarter of new infections nationally. Its prevalence has doubled in just the last week or so. USA Today also recently said a new COVID variant is spreading across Pennsylvania. Data released last week shows. In the past month, the BA2 variant has gone from 3% of cases sequenced to more than 20%, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Both articles are at pains to explain that Americans don't yet know enough about the BA2 to adequately assess its menace at this time, but they go on to suggest it's probably nothing to worry about right now. As with Delta and Omicron, no new precautions are being instituted. Indeed, mask mandates and other protections are disappearing all across the U.S., yet even after the twin debacle brought by those variants, the news seems resolutely determined to hold to a positive outlook as they watch the approach of this newest one, the first true test of the living with the virus method that capitalism has craved for 2 years now. No lesser light than COVID expert Anthony Fauci popped up recently to join in assurances, according to The Times, saying Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Biden administration's top advisor on the pandemic, predicted an uptick in coronavirus infections similar to the current increase in Europe. Despite the current decline in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in the United States, while anticipating a new rise. Dr. Fauci said that at this time, he does not expect a surge. Still, the BA.2 subvariant has been shown to be a more contagious version of the Omicron variant, though it, too, causes less severe illness in most people. Epidemiologists have said the current lull in U.S. cases mirrors the dip that Europe enjoyed before many officials in the region relaxed restrictions like indoor masking. If Fauci proclaimed water to be wet, a segment of the population would drown in the local bog trying to prove him wrong. This is a fact of modern politics, the vast temptations of conspirational fictions over the long grind of scientific truth. Fauci has offered a level voice and a steady hand, for the most part, which is nothing short of remarkable, given how often Donald Trump lit Fauci's podium on fire with his cascading failure of an approach to the pandemic. Not everyone who believes in Fauci is fully accepting his prediction that the variant will merely cause an uptick instead of a surge, however. Benjamin Mueller of the New York Times reports that scientists and health officials are bracing for another swell in the pandemic and with it, the first major test of the country's strategy of living with the virus while limiting its impact, adding, "The clearest warnings that the brief period of quiet may soon be over have come, as they often have in the past 2 years from Western Europe. In a number of countries, including Britain, France, and Germany, case numbers are climbing as an even more contagious subvariant of Omicron, known as BA.2, takes hold." In interviews, 10 epidemiologists and infectious disease experts said that many of the ingredients were in place for the same to happen in the United States, though it was unclear if or when a wave might hit or how severe it might be. If or when BA.2 or another variant like it attacks with full force and causes yet another devastating round of deaths and economic hardships, the current live-with-it posture in the United States has left Americans thoroughly unprepared again. This is particularly true after Congress cut $1.6 billion in COVID funding to catastrophic effect. Next week, the government will have to cut shipments of monoclonal antibody treatments by a third. In April, it will no longer be able to reimburse healthcare providers for testing, vaccinating, or treating millions of uninsured Americans who are disproportionately likely to be unvaccinated and infected. Come June, it won't be able to support domestic testing manufacturers. If such variants arise, they will likely catch the U.S. off guard because surveillance networks will have to be scaled back too. Should people need further booster shots, the government won't have enough for anyone. Republicans believe they have gained the upper hand in their rhetorical fight surrounding COVID, particularly in regard to money allocated to fight the disease. To their minds, the country's "so over it, you guys" mood is worth hanging their overall COVID strategy on. We shall see one way or the other, and that soon. I think we've learned at this point to not underestimate what kind of sort of evolutionary leaps this virus can make, University of Utah virologist Stephen Goldstein told Gride, adding, "We should be pretty humble about making predictions about that's next." That cuts both ways, doesn't it? Like a hot knife, keep your eyes open and don't toss those masks just yet. We'll be right back. follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Tick, 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 and a few shots, and there it is. The Iranian post-Islam solar calendar turns 15 centuries and a year old, March the 20th, most years March the 21st. The occasion, however, goes way back to the 6th century before Christ or so, when Iran was Zoroastrian. But the tradition continues in its time-adapted form with Qurans on the New Year or Hafsin table. New Year's the deal, everywhere. And Iran's is when all comes to life, first of spring, with roots in antiquity. What better place to do a piece on it than one of Tehran's prominent museums? Except it's hard to tell which is overwhelming. The ancient tradition Nowruz, literally New Day or New Year, or this glassware museum with objects 2-3 times as old as Nowruz itself, possibly. For more on this tradition and how it's being handled in today's economy, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today. Local musicians call in Nowruz, piping and beating on tambourines to a local tune, most prominently in Damavand and Mazandaran province. Each locality welcomes in the rolling spring with a slightly different flavor. And by locality, I don't just mean different provinces of Iran. Peoples and countries stretched across the Silk Route have celebrated Nowruz from olden days when Iranian ways and beliefs stretched far and wide. Now, over 300 million people over these countries are celebrating the tradition. At the Glassware or Abgina Museum, I got to talk to the Cultural Heritage Organization chief, Mr. John Fishon.
Nowruz is an ancient tradition of ours that marks the start of the solar year. It's celebrated in several Asian countries. Nowruz marks a change in nature and also a change in the personal lives of people when the new year arrives. This is both a physical and spiritual change. Therefore, Nowruz may be the only tradition in the world that starts at the beginning of the year when the spring comes and the nature renews itself. What I think is very important is that we have unique historical and cultural tourism in Iran. One of these holidays is our Nowruz holidays. These are part and parcel of our religion and civilization and the roots of a nation.
As the cold and dark peel off to give way to sunny spring, the Hafsin or Seven Scenes table displays objects symbolizing purity, brightness, abundance, happiness and fertility for the new year. Each of the seven objects start with the letter S or Sin in Persian. I'll bring you back to the table. But first, a little on how people have managed to do their New Year shopping next to setting their tables with prices going through the roof, given inflation stands at a 40% high, no less, and local currency at a low of 260 to 70,000 rials to the dollar. Mr. Mojtabai is Secretary General to the Iran Chamber of Guilds. It was a pleasure to have him, although on Skype.
You see, according to the decision of the Supreme Employment Council, the minimum wage increased by about 57%, while the average wages were raised by 38%, as about 2 million tumans are considered as supplementary benefits to the base salaries. On average, we can say that average wages are up by 47% this year. This means that on average, the cost for the workforce in the economic activities, including production, distribution, and services, will be up by 47% alone. This is a pretty substantial sum because in our economy, the prices are determined by the cost of the workforce rather than the technology behind the production.
Well, public and government assistance to low-income families is high on the government's agenda, but the situation is dire with ready money at a low. Given U.S. sanctions and domestic long-term mismanagement and corruption.
We are dealing with the issue of the allocation of subsidized foreign reserves to different goods, whether or not it has to be removed altogether at the same time or gradually, or if we can remove it for target groups. The government is making these policies to control the prices. In the year 1400, we implemented the policy of value-added tax, which even applied to basic goods. But the heads of the three branches of the government repealed the law for basic goods to prevent the prices from soaring.
The government tripled cash handouts as it multiplied the number of households receiving them for the new year. But a cash handout of 1.5 million rials is no match for a 40% inflation and transgressional prices. The draft budget bill for this Persian year in 2022 was presented in December 2021 by the President Raisi to Parliament or Majlis. In that $864 billion bill, production and employment are the pivots. This is ironic, as it is a fat government's expenses that have caused much of the cash shortage in the country and therefore minting unbacked money, which led to higher inflation. But Raisi's presidency is new and he doesn't appear eager to carry on with the policies inherited from presidents past. Mr. Bakhtiari is chief of the Imam Khomeini Relief Foundation. He gave us some of his time via Skype.
Imam Khomeini Relief Foundation has been evaluating employment conditions and requirements for some 350 cities. Lately, in cooperation with the Islamic Azad University, we've been evaluating even more cities and identified jobs that would result in sustainable income for every city, and started to plan skill learning courses with the help from Iran's Technical and Vocational Training Organization. I see a bright future for employment, entrepreneurship, and production across the cities and villages.
In his new draft budget bill, public resources are estimated at 13.72 quadrillion rials, which is over $326.5 billion, and the government's budget at about under $358.5 billion, with an increase of 9.2% compared to the Iranian year past, the year 1400, that is. Revenues from exporting oil, gas, and gas condensate are estimated at under $91 billion. That's 8.5% more than the figure in last Iranian year's budget. Tax and customs incomes are predicted at under $134 billion. That's a 73% rise from last year, and it has caused much frustration at the thought that the government will try to make up for official inefficiency and corruption by dipping into the pockets of the people. People assembling to help those in need is a tradition here, but on a voluntary basis, with the government just rallying volunteers.
People's spending in Nowruz, 1399 and 1400, was at its lowest. The same was true over the past 2 years, too. Businesses haven't been so prosperous. Thankfully, in the days leading up to the Nowruz this year, there has been a new upturn for businesses. From a few months ago, the production sector saw a boost in manufacturing goods for the new year, including clothing such as shoes and bags, nuts, decorations, furniture, curtains, and others. The production is still lower than before the pandemic began, but it's been significantly better compared to the past 2 years. Thankfully, there is a new economic activity led by these businesses, and we hope that it would result in the prosperity of businesses and the creation of job opportunities in all trade and industrial sectors.
Raisi appears to choose pragmatism over compassion to steer administrative measures toward longer-term improvements. So while stressing Islamic society should be governed on the basis of social justice, he said, the reform of structures and indicators takes precedence over the care of the poor and needy. But at the same time, with the implementation of long-term and structural programs and measures, the poor and needy must be treated with dignity and urgent plans to eliminate absolute poverty.
One of our programs for the new year is to create 500,000 jobs. Thankfully, the parliament has allocated 25 billion tomans as zero-interest lending to Imam Khomeini's Relief Foundation. God willing, we can accomplish our mission with the help of the central bank and other operating banks. Some ask whether the employment benefits are only for those under the coverage of the Relief Foundation. The answer is that although those covered take priority, those who need help, even if they're not covered, will be assisted and will receive employment benefits. Our priorities are those living in villages.
To address the poor and needy, the president's measures are to update the Welfare and Social Security Comprehensive Information System and to make use of people's capacities in planning and providing public assistance. In other words, burden sharing with the government, which the people did do in the early days of the corona pandemic.
In addition to the very important discussion of employment, we have an important program called vocational and skills training which precedes employment. Those who take the course take priority in receiving the zero interest loans. Therefore, we've signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Cooperatives, Labor, and Social Welfare, and the Technical and Vocational Training Organization a month ago to create such training programs for 500,000 people. The MO also requires 12,000 units in the private sector to join the programs. The Technical and Vocational Training Organization itself has 450 training centers which will also be used under the Memorandum of Understanding.
Time for another use of nature, papermaking and reading, as I invite you to take a look at what other media sources have to say. Our news of the day is basically New Year messages from the leaders of the country focusing on domestic production as a means of improving the economy. The Tehran Times quotes the leader who titles New Year as a year of production, knowledge-based and job-creating. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, addressed the nation on the occasion of the Iranian New Year, March the 20th, 2022, felicitating the nation on the occasion of Nowruz and calling on the government and nation to work hard to boost knowledge-based production and create new jobs. The leader re-emphasized the importance of boosting domestic production as he had done in past years, saying the reason he placed so much emphasis on it is because it boosts economic growth, creates employment, reduces inflation, increases per capita income, and improves public welfare. Furthermore, it also brings about psychological effects since it boosts national self-confidence and creates a sense of dignity in the nation. Production is such an elixir. National production is this important if it is carried out, of course, in the best possible way, God willing. Ayatollah Khamenei designated the new Iranian calendar year of 1401 as the year of production, knowledge-based and job-creating. Mehr News quotes the president, Iran's economy not to be left in limbo pending of JCPOA, stating that the country and economy would not be left in limbo pending the conclusion of the JCPOA. The president said that while engaging in Vienna negotiations, the government put its focus on thwarting sanctions. He made the remarks in his New Year message aired live from the Grand Mosque of the southwestern Iranian port city Khorramshahr on Sunday evening, March the 20th.
My first Nowruz message as the servant of the public is the message of round-the-clock and incessant work to build a powerful and advanced Iran, he said. No nation and no country has achieved anything without intensive work and the maximum use of human and natural resources. The new year and the new century should be the beginning of a new era of productive, useful, fruitful, and progressive work for us all. During the current year, God willing, the issue of employment will be our first and foremost issue, Iran's president said, adding that unemployment is the root cause of all economic and social plights. As a result, he noted, supporting domestic production is at the top of his administration's agenda. That'll be it for the news section today.
Raisi, heading the Islamic Republic's 13th government, spoke at its first meeting of the Supreme Council of Welfare and Social Security. That's when and where the Minister of Labor, Cooperation and Social Welfare presented a report on the welfare of Iranian households in terms of income, education, health, housing, access to water and energy facilities and infrastructure. And his ministry was assigned to prepare a comprehensive poverty alleviation program with the cooperation of other agencies and present it at the Council's next meeting. Also, a program was approved to combat child malnutrition. The country has a rich 2-3-pronged budget to dip into for damage control. Apart from an oil budget that has shrunken thanks to sanctions on exports and consequential smuggling, with oil revenues lost and exchanges off the books, there is money from foundations originally established to provide for the needy by different means. A generally preferred means being the generation of money by business to give 50% to the poor and to put 50% into or back into industry and business to regenerate yet more for the poor.
Now, it's a lot of money to handle, and where individuals get involved, funds can go mismanaged. Even management needs supervision, which is the case also with corona combating policies. How is that relevant here?
Well, while Persians' purchasing power may be wanting, the average traveler carrying dollars to this country can buy 10 items for one. The variety of handicrafts is mind-boggling, as is the wealth of historic and architectural sites and geological geographic sites and multicolored customs and clothes in this four-season mini-continent, Iran. All wonders have come together here, and it's still cheap. What better time to visit than spring? Now, what's been done to make it safe with Omicron and prospective strains of the pandemic on the horizon? Our show guest tells.
The COVID-19 task force and Iran's Chamber of Trade Unions adopted policies to have people adhere to safety protocols as much as possible. With the Chamber's efforts aimed at raising awareness, 85% of the 3 million entrepreneurs in Iran were vaccinated. Overall, 32% of Iran's population have received their booster shots, but 38% of the 3 million entrepreneurs have taken their third jabs. Observing the protocols, including using face masks and disinfectants, proper ventilation, regular cleaning of the environment, and completely eliminating the use of paper bills for payment, were among the matters that helped prevent the spread of the virus in different businesses.
For a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Domestic tourism to Tehran is practically being encouraged for Nowruz, as the overpopulated capital is a peaceful village, relatively, during the two-week New Year holidays. COVID-19, as it sends some 200,000 employees, mostly of the services sector, into unemployment in just 1 week of shutdowns, sent tourism into a lull. But this year, the Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts is among authorities trying to make up for the loss with a rebound.
In conjunction with Tehran Municipality, we've created a multilingual website called Visit Tehran. Those interested can visit the website and discover historical sites, tourist spots, tours, and their opening hours.
Some 300 DAF players from Kurdistan have been lined up for entertainment in the capital. They've been scheduled to perform on Tabiat or Nature Bridge at the heart of Tehran, and Milad Tower, as usual, will have bands and sales from all over the country. And this is a multicolored and cultured country of the mostly fair-skinned and black-eyed to the blue-eyed or dark-skinned, singing in different dialects and even three prominent different languages.
Our goal is to be good hosts for tourists who are coming here. Therefore, the recreational and tourist centers and historical sites have been prepared to receive the tourists, both Iranians and those coming from abroad. We have taken steps including renovation of the buildings and training guides to better help the tourists. We've printed catalogs and booklets for those tourists who are interested in finding out more about the items at the museums and historical sites.
Now, this doesn't all just happen out of the blue. There's an unveiling whereby the winter is peeled off and the spring is eased in. Now, that's preluded by Khane Tekani or spring cleaning to get rid of the dust and its ills and start with a clean slate for friends and family to visit, as well as the spirits of lost loved ones. Then there's shopping, buying new clothes and fish and rice and herbs for New Year's Eve's dinner or New Year lunch. In this year's case, New Year dinner.
It all goes back to the long-standing tradition of celebrating the evolution of the year. This tradition has existed, and people have been celebrating Nowruz and the New Year even before Islam. The concept of celebrating the New Year isn't something unique. All religions mark the start of the year one way or another. But none celebrate the New Year according to exact astronomical calculations. For example, the New Year in the Gregorian calendar comes at the stroke of midnight on January the 1st. But we don't have a specific time for the start of the New Year. Depending on the year in our solar calendar, the exact time the year changes will be different. This year, the New Year comes at about 7 p.m., but next year it'll move. This is a sort of innovation and creativity in our celebrations.
Also, there's two more tables to set, one with fruits and nuts and traditional sweet sweets for guests, and another, the haftsin table. Now, what does that comprise? Seven items, beginning with the sound S, are symbolically set on the table. Senjed or dried oleaster symbolizes wisdom. Sabze or sprouts symbolize rebirth. Seeb or apple. Samanu or wheat germ pudding is a sign of power. Seer or garlic is a sign of medicine and good health. Serke or vinegar symbolizes patience. And sumak symbolizes sunrise and good conquering evil. Anyhow, there are additions to the table apart from the vital seven S's, and those are, say, coins or sekke, symbolizing wealth and bounty, flowers, a mirror and candlesticks, painted eggs, symbolizing fertility, and goldfish. Generally, all the items are put on the table to bring good luck, wealth, and happiness to the family.
We've never divided Nowruz into pre- and post-Islamic periods. Nowruz is a ritual that has been passed down to us from our fathers and ancestors. This ritual is spreading day by day, and research is being done on it. One of the points that all Iranians like very much is the seven sin. Every house in every region and every city have seven sin as a symbol of Nowruz, and in fact, all Iranians prepare the seven sin table.
I talked of a fish and green rice meal. While rice, our staple diet, went up to 1 million rials a kilo in recent months. That's about $4. And a kilo makes for one meal for 5 to 8 people. That's while the average Iranian wage earner gets $100 to $200 a month. To control prices, although tough to control enough, the government does this. Each year, the government announces measures to control prices, such as subsidizing food items, providing and distributing basic goods via public chain stores, banning exports, and imposing punitive measures on wholesaler, middlemen, and retailers who tend not to abide by state-designated prices.
With the help of the Interior Ministry and the National COVID-19 Task Force, a new website dubbed Iran Eman or My Iran was created. All economic actors must receive a QR code from the system. People can scan the smart QR code to find out if those working at the business have had positive COVID tests and also the date of the last positive test they have received. This can help with public health, enabling people to realize whether there is an infected person somewhere so they won't go to those places. Such plans will make the COVID-19 management systems much smarter.
According to the Islamic Parliament Research Center, by 1995, about 20% of Iranians lived in poverty. To fast forward, year-on-year poverty, that's $1.90 per day in terms of purchasing power parity, increased about 30% between 2018 and 2019. By the end of 2019, 33% of Iran's population lived in absolute poverty, and 6% were not able to afford sufficient food, which is a minimum of 2,100 calories per day.
It depends on the government's management, and if, like this year, the ETS, which is the basic customs rate for calculating the prices of imported goods, is determined by the dollar at the 4,200 tumans rate, something that didn't happen over the past year. The heads of the three branches of the government intervened and prevented the decree from being implemented. The parliament has passed the law, but we need to wait and see whether the administration would implement it. This is something that will affect the prices at the market.
That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do return to the box at the same times next week and each week after. I wish you a very happy new year, if you're in peace, and if not, may you find peace. With the Iranian year 1401.
Nowruz Happy Customs in Iran. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are with you with another episode of Nowruz special series. As a reminder, we talked about various happy customs in different regions of Iran during Nowruz days. Today we are going to make you familiar with happy customs in Nowruz in other regions of the country. Stay tuned, please. Another ethnicity which has played an effective role in the Iranian culture is Lor ethnicity. Lor inhabiting regions are mainly located in the western and southwestern Iran. In old times, literal people used to act as harbingers of Nowruz as they would go on horseback to read out special poems in villages. As usual, villagers would give them gifts such as eggs, wheat, and money. Another interesting custom among the Lor people is Chale Garmi. This old custom is mainly held among the people of Kohgiloye va Buyer Ahmad province. These people, one day before Nowruz, keep the oven warm and use warm foods, recite Shahnameh and play reed to forget the cold winter and sense the beauty of spring better. In addition to making warm food, every family fills the tablecloth with bread with the hope of a blessed year. Now we get familiar with some of Nowruz traditions and customs of the people in Sistan-Baluchistan province in southeastern Iran. The Baluch people call the Nowruz feast Bahar Cherani, meaning grazing in spring, or Nokin Rosh, which means the new day in Baluchi language. The nomads of the province shear the sheep, dye the stomach and fat tail, and also dye part of the fleece with henna or pomegranate peel while they color the horns of the sheep with henna. Then they take the decorated sheep to graze with bells on their feet and necks. From early morning, special instruments are played in places of worship while men try to make people happy. The Baluch people also try to hold wedding ceremonies in the first days of the new year. Another glorious ceremony among the Baluch people is recitation of epic texts and poems by elderly or popular persons. People gather together, make fire, and while listening to epic poems and stories of the past, pray for their family and relatives. At the end of this ceremony, local poems are read out on spring and elderly try to make people happy. The last day of Nowruz, that is 13th of Farvardin, is marked in Baluchistan in a special way. This day is called Safar Bedar. They burn aromatic substances called Suchaki. Children turn around houses in groups and read out local songs to ward off bad omens from homes and hearths. Moreover, on the 13th of Nowruz, some villagers go to places of worship and distribute cooked sheep among the needy with the intention of gladdening the spirits of their dead. There are many customs in Nowruz in northern Iran too. Arus Goli is one of these beautiful customs. Arus Goli means bride's flower. It is a dramatic performance in which Ghul, Pir Baba, and Nas Khanum are the main players. Pir Baba is an old man. Ghul, or monster, wears a hat of dry hay. And Nas Khanum is performed by a youth who wears female costume. The theme of this happy show is about the dispute of the Ghul with Pir Baba for getting Nas Khanum. The dispute turns into wrestling. The monster symbolizes winter and darkness, while the old man is the symbol of gardening and beauty. Finally, the old man wins and finishes the show with Nas Khanum beside him. This show is performed in various villages of northern Iran from the second half of the last Iranian month of Isfand. The dramatic troupe performs the show in open space in front of houses and receives gifts such as rice, eggs, sweets, and sometimes money. Another custom that is held before the coming of Nowruz is Ahu Chare. This show has been common among the people of Gilan province. Three people would make something like the head of a gazelle. Then they would put flour and grass on his horn. With glass beads, they would make eyes for the gazelle and would hang bell on it. The effigy would be put on a stick. The player of gazelle would cover himself with a cloth and take the wooden stick in his hand. Then the trio would go to different neighborhoods to perform the show and receive gifts while reciting poems on spring and Nowruz. Turkmen people in northern Iran have their special traditions and customs during Nowruz. One of the Nowruz entertainments among these people is Monjuk Ati game. It means dropping beads. This game is played by Turkmen girls. Turkmen girls gather together and one by one drop their beads, which they have already marked in a dish full of water. Then one of the girls holds the dish over the head of her friends. While she is reciting a poem, she mixes the beads and takes one out of the dish. The poem is explained in accordance with who the bead belongs to. Meanwhile, in the last days of the year, some people go from one neighborhood to another, reciting different poems in praise of spring and Nowruz and receiving gifts from people.
Seven damage pressure.
We come to you, and oh God, name that thou art our only king.
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. In this, the final week of the month of Sha'ban. And because it's the final week of the month of Sha'ban and we will be entering into the blessed sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the holy month of Ramadan, the book that we would like to introduce to our dear brothers and sisters today is a book that I myself personally have benefited from many times. It was one of the first books that I read cover to cover before I became a student about nearly over 15, 16 years ago. And it is worth reading. It is not a very big book, it is a small book, and it is worth reading because the book will obviously help with a particular act of worship that is of extreme importance in our life in general, and especially during the holy month of Ramadan. So inshallah, in our next segment, we will be introducing this book to our dear brothers and sisters. So please stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. So the book that we would like to introduce to our dear listeners is titled Soaring to the Only Beloved. It is a book that deals with paying attention in salah, in the prayer, and the importance of it and the possibility of it and how it is attained. The book was written by Abu Muhammad Zainul Abidin. Now the reason I'm going to tell you who this person is, because in another book, this person becomes clear. It is our dear Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his life and his efforts. The book was published in Qum by Ansarian Publications. And the Sheikh says, in the present treatise, we shall briefly try to discuss the following vital issues concerning attention in prayer. So the section that I covered in this book is 1. The necessity of attention in prayer. 2. The possibility of attention in prayer. 3. Levels of attention in prayer. 4. Hurdles on the way to attention in prayer and their removal. 5. Suggested methods of achieving attention in prayer. 6. The effect of maintaining one's attention in prayer. So this is the general outline of the book. So inshallah, in our next segment, we will be reading a portion of this book for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned.
Among the sacred texts we have received to help us understand where we came from and where we are going as a human race are most rich in helping us find our direction. They narrate stories of our past. But where have they brought us? Where are their messages now? Are we the people of belief, or have we become the people of the boxes? Is there wisdom trapped in our bookshelves? Bookshelves, bookshelves, bookshelves.
Welcome back to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. The book that we have introduced to our dear listeners was titled Soaring to the Only Beloved, a treatise that looks at the importance and the possibility and how one can attain attention in the salah, in the prayer. It was written by Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan, and obviously we heard what the Sheikh had to say. So in this particular segment, we will be reading a particular part of the treatise for the benefit of our dear listeners. And the reason why we mention this treatise now at the end of the holy month of Sha'ban is that hopefully the dear listeners will take it upon themselves to actually go and read this treatise and, you know, try and implement some of the steps that are mentioned in the prayers that we do, or that our dear brothers and sisters do in the holy month of Ramadan, in order to make use of the month in a better way. Section 1. The necessity of attention in prayer. How can the attention of the heart and the expression of humility not be the spirit of the prayer? And how can the perfection of prayer not depend upon them? While the musalli, that is the person who is praying, in his prayer and supplication whispers to his Lord, Mawla Naraqi. The Holy Quran says, O you who believe, do not near prayers in the state of intoxication until you know what you say. The Holy Quran, chapter number 4, verse 43. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, O mankind, surely when the worshippers, or the worshipper, Musalli, prays, he whispers unto his blessed and almighty Lord. Therefore, he must know that with which he whispers. Rational evidence. Prayer is a kind of worship taught to the human being by his Lord through revelation,
to enable him to attain his proximity. Prayer is a kind of worship taught to the human being by his Lord through revelation to enable him to attain his, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, proximity. It consists of a set of actions and expressions, most of which clearly declare the immaculate nature of God. A set of expressions, therefore, form an important part of the daily prayer. And clearly, the act of expression cannot really be known to be so if the heart is oblivious to what the tongue utters. Therefore, attention is a necessary concomitant of expression. And hence is also necessary in prayer. Mawla al-Naraqi in his ethical opus, Jami' al-Sa'adat, says, "How can the presence of the heart and the expression of humility not be the spirit of the prayer? And how can the perfection of prayer not depend upon them? While the worshipper, Musalli, in his prayer and supplication, whispers to his Lord, there is no doubt that speech along with absent-mindedness is not the act of whispering. In addition, speech is an expression of what is in the heart or mind. And this is impossible save by means of the attention of the heart. For what really does the supplicant ask when he says, 'Guide us on the straight path,' while the heart is inattentive? And there is no doubt also that the purpose behind Quranic recitation and invocations, adhkar, is the act of laudation, praise, the expression of one's humility, and supplication while the addressee is the Almighty Allah." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us in these last few days of the holy month of Sha'ban, and when we enter into the glorious and blessed month of Shah Ramadan, we are able to pay careful attention to what we are saying and who we are addressing in order to gain the true benefit from the acts that we do, and in order for us to truly attain sincerity and ikhlas in our actions. So inshallah, I hope and I pray that our acts and efforts in this month of Sha'ban is accepted, and we have a fruitful Shah Ramadan. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Bookshelf with Brother Yasser Ibrahim on RIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio.